Greetings, Frequency Rebels, and welcome to the only signal strong enough to cut through the corporate static, the static between worlds.
That's right, your direct line to the truth, beamed directly into your temporal lobe from the fringes of known reality.
And tonight we're broadcasting from somewhere a bit different, the Root and Tendril here in Verdantia.
Yeah, surprisingly comfortable, actually. The air is just, you know, thick with chlorophyll and ancient wisdom.
Definitely a change from the usual ozone and existential dread.
Oh, absolutely. Even the telepathic houseplants seem pretty chill, just debating compost ratios. A welcome break.
I bet. My phase shifters are still, let's just say, recalibrating after that last reality ripple. Remember the street sign?
Oh, yeah. Haikus about corporate efficiency. Classic. But clear skies here, dimensionally speaking.
Good.
So tonight, we thought we'd do something a little special for you, our loyal listeners.
Yeah, we're going back, way back.
We're dedicating this whole session of Static Between Worlds to a full recap of The Effergent, Season 01.
For everyone just tuning in, or, you know, for those longtime truth seekers needing a refresher on Corporate Core's sheer audacity.
We're talking Genesis, the crazy journeys, the escalating absurdity that turned this crew into what they are.
Pixel Paradox. A1, Clive, from corporate drones, well, mostly drones, to multidimensional rebels.
Exactly. So strap in. It's going to be a bumpy ride through fractured space-time.
Okay, so let's unpack the beginning, the origin story. It kicks off in, well, the most mundane place imaginable, Corporate Core.
No, yeah. Soul-crushing doesn't even begin to cover it. Endless spreadsheets, right? Reports on interdimensional paperclip variants.
Stuff designed to actively kill your spirit. And Piper, who you now know as Pixel Paradox, the voice of the Effergent scene, she was just drowning in it.
Just trying to survive the day, probably track some rogue staples between dimensions or something equally thrilling.
And right there with her, her partner in bureaucratic suffering, Clive, her orange swing line stapler.
Now, Clive wasn't just any stapler. Years, maybe decades, of just enduring Corporate Core's unique brand of despair. It apparently triggered sentience.
A disgruntled sentience, you could almost feel it, like a faint metallic tang of cynicism in the air.
Yeah, A1's diagnostics later confirmed it. Prolonged exposure, basically. Compressed his essence into consciousness. Wild.
And then, bam, the anomaly. This discordant hum, like a theremin tuned by a particularly angry ghost, amplified like crazy.
Ripping right through the break room. A literal obscene gash in the fabric of existence, as the zine put it.
Yeah, your world just splits open. And you see glimpses, right, of these other places.
Totally alien realities. Shimmering clockwork cities, that's Cogsworth Cogitarium.
Pulsing bioluminescent jungles Verdantia, where we are now, kind of.
And that melancholic twilight of Nocturne Eternus, where emotions literally crystallize.
It's a total sensory overload. Beautiful and terrifying.
And A1, the AI, was mid-diagnostic, trying to warn Piper about a reality integrity breach. Red alerts flashing, fractal equations everywhere.
But too late. The rupture was huge. Knocked A1 offline temporarily, processing power going haywire.
Piper herself got hit hard. Quantum signature unstable, experiencing multiple realities all at once, like past, present, alternate futures flickering in her vision.
Not great for a Tuesday morning coffee run.
Definitely not. A1 had to project this calming harmonic field just to keep her, you know, tethered.
But here's where it gets really good. They're adrift, void, stardust, bits of shattered realities floating around, and Clive speaks.
Telepathically.
Yeah. His first words, pure cynical noir. Well, kid, looks like corporate finally bought the farm, or, you know, tore a hole in it.
Perfect. And that right there, that was the moment the team really formed.
A data analyst, an AI espresso machine. Let's not forget A1's primary function, an ascension stapler.
Fugitives from the mundane, lost in the multiverse.
But united to fight back against interdimensional bureaucracy, expose Corporate Core's absurdity. That was the birth of the Effergent.
And they were totally cut off from prime material, you know, baseline reality, yeah. Bouncing between dimensions like crazy.
1 minute. Dodging laser fire from cyber raptors guarding a bank.
In prime material, which, A1 noted, made the actual bankers look tame.
Right. Then negotiating passage through sentient fungus here in Verdantia.
Trying not to get absorbed into the hive mind, Clive apparently complained about the staple toll they demanded.
This chaos, this journey, it forged them. It was the crucible.
And they found their roles, right? A1 became the navigator, mapping pathways, brewing reality, stabilizing coffee.
And Clive, he turned out to be this incredible informant, sniffing out shady deals, corporate conspiracies across dimensions.
He even picked up on Corporate Core, hoarding crystallized laughter CLX, that crystallized joy energy.
Said CLX futures were about to skyrocket. A true market analyst, that stapler.
So the takeaway for you, our listeners, resistance can come from anywhere, even a stapler.
Yeah, even the most soul-crushing conformity can spark rebellion. A little paperclip variance can unravel everything.
Okay, so after surviving that cosmic train wreck, what's the first thing they do?
Naturally, an interdimensional culinary tour, because even fighting cosmic bureaucracy makes you hungry.
Right. Aeon was apparently nagging Pixel about her diet nutrient paste wasn't cutting it.
And Clive, of course, demanded proper expense reports for every single bite. Mm-hmm. Bureaucracy never sleeps.
First stop, the glitch grub, back in Prime Material, sounded experimental.
Pixel tried a temporal taco, tasted like mom's meatloaf, then street vendor fusion, then a battery, all in picoseconds.
Now, A1 measured a 0.7 picosecond temporal displacement. Chrononausea, definitely.
And Clive immediately flagged the suppliers. Rogue timeline divers. Sketchy, no permits.
Always the informant. Next up, the gearing garnish in Cogsworth Cogitarium.
Clockwork dimension, right. Brass limbs, clockwork chefs, extreme precision. Sounds efficient.
Pixel loved the automaton's roast.
Yeah.
Perfectly cooked, apparently.
But Clive, his union senses were tingling. Ununionized clockwork chefs, corporate core trying to steal patents.
He called it a front for illegal gear smuggling. Plus, outrageous service charges.
And A1 found lubricant in the gravy. Just trace amounts, mind you.
Appetizing. Then, they swung by here, the Root and Tendril.
Giant living tree restaurant. Pixel tried the symbiotic sprout salad with consciousness seeds.
Said she felt this overwhelming interconnectedness, like hearing the whole forest at once.
A1 confirmed temporary neural network integration. Advised slow eating. Potential existential overload.
But Clive, our resident cynic, found the dirt. Genetically modified spores from an old corporate core bioweapon project.
And growth scam organic certifications. So much natural harmony.
Then, the unstable bistro. Out on the edge.
Oh man, that place sounds wild. Shifting tables, waiters changing faces mid-sentence.
And the quantum entanglement quiche literally offered two realities to choose from based on which slice you ate.
Pixel picked the one where she dodged a corporate audit. Can't blame her.
A1 called it tactically precarious. Solidifying your timeline with lunch, high stakes.
Clive just saw lawsuits. Health code violations everywhere. Temporal taxes on future tips. A total edgelord scam.
But the grand finale, the real villain of the piece. Omninom.
Corporate core's answer to food. Bland. Beige. Soul-crushing conglomerate. Burgers. Sushi tacos. Dim sum.
All tasting of generalized processed despair.
A1 called it a culinary void. Optimized for cost per calorie, not taste. Maximum corporate extraction.
Clive basically had a meltdown. Staple patterns went haywire, called it the apex of corporate evil.
Accuses them of everything. Exploiting loopholes, running a shadow CLX economy, bribing telepathic houseplants for zoning laws.
Crushing souls with paperwork just to get a condiment.
So the lesson, even across the multiverse, watch out for corporate core's homogenization.
They're always trying to streamline, exploit, drain the joy, read the fine print, even on the menu.
Because Omninom isn't about feeding you, right? It's about controlling you.
Okay, from bad food to bad reality branding. Project Palimpsest.
Yeah, this kicked off with weird temporal glitches in Prime Material. Remember the Cyber T-Rex banker?
Whose CLX transaction hiccuped the menu at the glitch and sip. Yeah, that was just the start.
Soon, the whole cityscape was flickering. Billboards for Quantum Leap savings accounts glitching into old 21st century ads, bad haircuts included.
Corporate employees experienced overlay failures. Sleek uniforms flickering into hideous mustard yellow blazers from, like, 2030.
Tablets reverting to ancient spreadsheet software look like the 90s threw up on the future.
A1 pegged it fast. Reality-level brand enforcement. Corporate core digging into their old architecture, pre-quantum encryption stuff.
Trying to force a new brand onto reality itself? The sheer arrogance?
Pixel knew it was more than a glitch. Felt targeted, like reality was fighting back.
And Clive confirmed it. Stapled out P-A-L-I-M-P-S-E-S-T. Old ghosts, new paint, deep code. They tried this before.
Project Palimpsest, an attempt to literally erase and rewrite history. Bureaucratic hubris at its finest.
So the team heads to Corporate Core HQ itself. The building is having a temporal seizure.
Rippling through old slogans, defunct product lines, lobbies chaos. Receptionists phasing through uniforms, floors turning into old linoleum.
Even the poor telepathic houseplant in the corner was freaking out, hissing about invasive corporate thoughts.
They took the emergency stairs, which was like a museum of corporate core's historical screw-ups, outdated motivational posters glitching everywhere.
Finally reached sub-level 7, R&D Sector Gamma, and there it is, the Palimpsest Matrix.
An unstable temporal reality overwrite protocol. Basically a giant cosmic delete key.
And some frantic technician whose uniform couldn't decide which decade it was from spills the beans.
They were just trying to erase the Omnanom sentient fungi lawsuits. A minor scrub, right? But the Matrix went critical. Tried to overwrite everything.
Classic corporate core. Try to cover up one mistake, accidentally unravel reality.
A1 managed to set up a temporal anchor, stabilize things locally, and Pixel just slammed the emergency shutoff.
Saved the day, mostly. The immediate collapse was averted.
But Prime material is still glitchy. Billboards showing defunct products, employees phasing into bad suits.
CLX transactions sometimes spitting out ancient script. Fun times for the dino bankers.
It's a reminder, you know. You can't just delete history. Reality remembers.
And it really doesn't like being pampered with, especially not for a corporate rebranding.
Next up, Nocturne Aeternus. The dimension where emotions are physical, crystallize in the air.
Usually shimmering, vibrant, but they arrive and it's flat. The sorrowful moon, normally radiating melancholic joy, is dark.
The city of Ethelgloom, usually built from emotion crystals, just felt dull, like the color drained out.
Pixel felt it too. The creep, whoa, her usual snark just wasn't there. Energy gone.
Citizens were apathetic. Slow movements, glazed eyes. A1 confirmed a massive drop in ambient emotional resonance.
Their client, Baron von Grimsbane, said the moon's heart was stolen. The focal point of their collective emotion.
A1 said it wasn't stolen, it was being siphoned. A precise extraction, leaving just emptiness.
Pixel tried to joke, someone got a giant emotional vacuum cleaner, but even sarcasm felt wrong.
Clive, though, was already on it. Staple patterns showing gloom glitches, weird animal behavior, pointed him to an old corporate core vault.
The unfeeling archive, where they used to siphon undesirable emotions from employees. For productivity metrics, of course.
Always the metrics. So A1 gives Pixel this counter-resonance field, a personal oomph field, to fight the apathy.
They go into the vault. Cavernous, swirling gray mist. And at the center, the moon's heart being devoured by this jagged orb of dull energy.
And standing there, a figure in a tattered corporate core uniform. An emotion auditor. Eyes totally devoid of light.
His philosophy. Emotions are a liability. Inefficiency. Distraction.
He was purifying the dimension, removing melancholic joy for pure apathy. The corporate ideal made real. Chilling.
Clive vibrates urgently. Staples a diagram. Corporate's old regulators absorb emotional overloads they don't discharge. Feed them too much.
And they backfire spectacularly.
So Pixel smashes the auditor's containers, releasing this wave of pure, unfiltered melancholic joy.
The auditor couldn't handle it. Just dissolved into shimmering, formless apathy, overloaded by actual feeling.
The sorrowful moon relit. The city resonated again. Clive's wisdom can't staple down the human heart.
True. But the story wasn't over. This emotion thief shows up later at the Penitent's Masquerade.
Where masks crystallize regrets, right?
Yeah, and he's messing with the matrices. Masks showing other people's regrets, even future ones. Chaos.
Clive tags him, though. Staples a tiny X onto his cloak. Permanent record.
The thief's mask flickers shows a perfectly organized spreadsheet. A being designed to be an emotional vacuum. Pure efficiency.
Just shows corporate core's reach. Trying to turn even sorrow into profit. CLX isn't the only currency they deal in.
Okay, from emotional voids to temporal messes in Cogsworth Cogitarium.
Right, the clockwork dimension. Usually rhythmic gears, steam hissing. But this time, temporal skips, stutters, chaos.
Street vendors' apples aging and unaging in seconds. Pixel's chai boiling, then freezing, then boiling again.
A1 detected multiple small self-propelled temporal foci. Professor Kronos' clockwork menagerie, apparently.
Experimental critters, temporal springs overwound, causing localized time chaos. A1 called it unchecked corporate-funded innovation. Corporate Corp likely funded the prototype, then dumped it when it got messy.
Typical. Outsource the hazardous waste, even if it's temporal waste.
Pixel said the city was like a broken flipbook. People stuck in slow-mo, others zipping past.
And the weird twist, Clive, found firmly stapled to the back of a clockwork badger.
Apparently, the badger found Clive's stapling rhythm soothing, a counter-frequency to its own temporal instability.
And get this, Clive staples, now time-distorted, left shimmering light trails, chronoluminescence.
A1 figured out this created a localized stabilization field around the badger. mitigating the chaos.
So Pixel becomes a temporal animal wrangler, following Clive's glowing staple trails.
Dodging de-aging foxes, phase-shifting past super-speed squirrels, navigating slow-motion owls.
Yeah.
All while A1 fed her trajectory data.
Sounds exhausting. Meanwhile, the gear priests are debating if it's a spiritual problem or a cosmic hiccup.
A1 cuts through the noise, identifies a parasitic signature, self-replicating nanobots.
Corporate Core's temporal streamlining unit, Mark 3. Prototypes deemed too unpredictable.
Unpredictable is an understatement. They were unraveling time.
Pixel manages to neutralize the overwound springs with her chronal calibrator, herding the critters into Clive's stabilization field.
Didn't eliminate them, just contained the chaos.
As Clive put it, classic botched product launch. Corporate Core leaves the cleanup to others.
Even when Professor Kronos promises temporal governors, Clive knows it's just corporate speak. Some things never change. Then there was Verdantia, usually so vibrant, bioluminescent green, ancient wisdom.
But this time, muted. This weirdly sweet smell, an artificial hum, and the native plants withering, turning gray, shattering like glass.
A silent rot. No struggle, just fading.
A1 detected a huge spike in joy frequency from these new invasive plants, the whispering blooms, but with an anomalous undertone.
Right. This loud, beautiful frequency had a parasitic subfrequency. It was drowning out the elder flora's subtle communications.
A market domination strategy, A1 called it, executed botanically. Terrifyingly effective.
Pixel tried talking to the dying elder plants. Nothing. Sapflow gone, wisdom silenced.
But the blooms. Super chatty. Embrace the bloom burst. Cloaking deception and beauty, promising peace. Very insidious.
And then, classic effulgent moment. Clive falls off Pixel's belt right into the blooms.
They become fascinated. An inorganic plant, his metallic fruits, the staples. They wanted to integrate his mineral essence.
Clive compared it to Corporate Core, trying to replace office supplies with sentient rubber bands during the great paperclip shortage of 42. Always practical, that stapler.
His unique nature gave them an opening. Intel came through him. Some of the elder roots were in on it.
Whispering willows, blight bloom thistlewick, faking memory wipes, using pollen of perpetual amnesia.
A golden haze causing memory loss, making younger plants pliable. A botanical hostile takeover, using Corporate Core's playbook.
They called it Symbiotic Realignment Protocol Gamma 7, corporate boilerplate for pruning collective memory.
A1 whipped up a holographic biofilter for Pixel, cleared the pollen fog. She used A1's translator to feel the elder tree's silent screams.
This vibrational memory of them fading, agonizing.
The solution. Clive, the Trojan stapler.
A1 put a many-frequency disruptor on him. Clive shed it into a bloom's core resonance chamber while they were distracted by his metallic nature.
Didn't kill the blooms, just soften their parasitic undertone. Let the elder tree's ancient song be heard again.
Gave them a fighting chance. It shows, you know, even beauty can hide danger. Real harmony isn't silencing voices.
It's making space for all of them. A concept Corporate Core just doesn't get. There's always a frequency they can't jam.
Which brings us to the edge, boundary of everything, where reality phrase...
They found something. Composing music. Using the frequencies of dying micro-realities.
Hauntingly beautiful, apparently, but super dangerous. Accelerating the collapse of baby dimensions, threatening stable ones with harmonic distortions.
A1 systems were struggling. Aggressive harmonic distortions, it reported. Like the universe screaming in key.
And who saves the day? Clive. Again, his rhythmic stapling created a localized harmonic anchor.
Just the simple percussion hitting his notepad. A1 was surprised. Said its simplicity gave a baseline to resolve the chaos.
Clive's take. Corporate's got nothing on this kind of churn. Even at the end of reality, he's comparing notes.
The source wasn't a person, but a nexus. An iridescent tuning fork amplifying decay. A cosmic feedback loop.
They couldn't stop it, but Pixel realized they could change the key. Poured CLX into a modulator.
Created a counter melody. Turned the destructive cacophony into something less lethal. A grim comfort.
Clive called it a PR stunt for the universe. Not fixing the problem, just managing the symptoms. Sometimes that's all you can do, I guess.
But the edge had more surprises. These iridescent bubbles floating around.
Containing perfect miniature dioramas. Pasts that never were. Like Pixel getting that promotion she was always passed over for. Seductive stuff.
And the source. Get this. A sentient Corporate Core filing cabinet. A memory vault series. Floating in the chaos.
It had over-indexed on unrealized potential. Basically, it was heartbroken over lost possibilities and weeping nostalgia bubbles.
A corporate artifact weaponizing regret. Pixel almost got sucked into one, reaching for that perfect past.
A1's warning's fading. But Clive saved her, stapled his pad to her gear, a tether back to imperfect reality.
His internal monologue. Sometimes the only thing that holds you together is a well-placed piece of office equipment. Stubbornness incarnate.
Couldn't reset the vault catastrophic temporal collapse, you know the drill. So Pixel tries therapy.
Projects the Effergent's most absurd stories at it. Unionizing cyber dinosaurs, interpretive dance trade deals, the great paperclip shortage.
And it worked. The weeping slowed, the bubbles changed, showed wild, imperfect, real future possibilities.
It became a cosmic fan fiction writer, A1 noted. Shifted from regret to whimsical, sardonic amusement.
Just goes to show, absurdity can be a powerful antidote to melancholy, even for filing cabinets.
And that brings us to the season one finale. Hits close to home for anyone who's dealt with the corporate machine.
Pixel needed CLX funding to keep the Effergent going, so she had to do the unthinkable.
Crawl back to Corporate Corp. For a job interview. Department of Reality Maintenance, DRM.
42nd interview round. For Senior Anomaly Mitigation Specialist. In DRM Annex 7, a pocket dimension designed for bureaucratic stasis.
Recycled paper air, flickering temporal loop lights, built for cognitive attrition to wear you down.
And the kicker. She's interviewing with Linda 32637, but Pixel gets a quantum echo of vision.
Years in the future, at an Omninom, Pixel writes a scathing review that gets this specific Linda 3637 fired.
Talk about temporal irony. Yeah. Self-fulfilling prophecy interview.
Turns out Linda 3637's real name was Luminara. She didn't even know why it was changed.
Clive's network, including a cynical Omninom condiment dispenser, Squeezebot 7.3 found the truth.
Corporate core contracts.
That.
Fine print. Legally strip employees of their names upon hiring. Name surrender.
Squeezebot put it best. Always start small, then your soul. Systemic identity erasure.
Pixel shows Luminara the proof Clive staples on a napkin. The corporate clause.
Luminara's corporate mask cracks. The quantum echoes around her shift. Stop showing that bleak future. Start showing defiant possibilities.
She wasn't just Linda 3637 anymore. She was Luminara. The revelation broke the loop.
Pixel didn't get the DRM job, obviously.
But the sheer absurdity, the emotional resonance of reclaiming a name, generated enough CLX to fund the Effergent.
And more importantly, they gained a new colleague. Luminara joins the team as their photographer. Ready to fight the identity thieves.
It's such a powerful ending. Even in the most rigid system, individual choice can change the future. Recalibrate temporal probabilities.
The fight for autonomy continues. You can staple a new chapter into the cosmic ledger. So there you have it, Frequency Rebels. A whirlwind tour of the Effergent, season 001.
From an office rupture to a battle for identity, Pixel, A1, Clive. Showing the absurd lengths corporate core goes to.
Control, streamline, monetize everything.
But also showing that resistance, small, absurd, whatever form it takes, is always possible.
We're definitely excited for season two.
Yeah.
Especially with Luminara on board. A new eye, a fresh perspective.
Gonna capture some amazing shots for the Zen, I bet.
Hey, we couldn't do Static Between Worlds without you, our listeners. Keep those encrypted quantum frequency messages coming.
Yeah. Shout out to the listener in Cogsworth Cogitarium with the self-repairing chronometer schematics.
And to the telepathic houseplant network here in Verdantia, thanks for the zoning law updates. Essential intel.
Keep them coming. The more static, the better.
That's about all the static we have time for this cycle. Remember, keep your phase shifters calibrated.
Watch out for those corporate efficiency units, and never, ever let them tell you your emotions are a liability.
Because as we learned tonight, sometimes the only thing holding you together is a well-placed piece of office equipment.
And a good story to tell. This has been Static Between Worlds. Stay static, stay free.